time for your weekly half hour of just male support group talk. I don't know. What is this?
I just wish we had video of you with that that pause and wait till right on time.
Yeah, so. that little pregnant pause in between the song and the music starting, that was intentional.
You should have saw him leaning into it.
Yeah, I'm
folks.
Like, come on, it's exactly 9:30. So it's time for KCIM Sports Rewind. It's Sports Director Jeff Blankman, Assistant Sports Director Mason Nealon, myself. Where do we start? I mean, let's start college football, because then there's a whole lot going on there. The whole Lane Kiffin thing. I think we need to start right there. Mason, your take on a guy that I can't blame him for taking the money, honestly, but the way it all goes down just leaves everybody just feeling awful.
I feel like Lane Kiffin has a really good spot in reality TV next to the Kardashians after his college football career. I seriously do, because it seems like a drama every time he leaves a university.
Yeah, somebody told me that a great quote. So I believe that Lane Kiffin has the unique ability to burn every bridge while he's standing on it.
Yes.
And he got booed by Ole Miss fans as he got on the plane to go accept the LSU job. And, you know, the day before, it was great because they beat Mississippi State. They won the Egg Bowl, and they're on top of the world. And he says he wants to go celebrate with his players, and then he's gone.
Yeah, and the timing of it is horrible. When did you ever think in all of our years that we would see a coach walk away from a team that has the potential to win a national championship to go coach somebody else before you even get into the postseason to coach your team to potentially a national championship? What has college football become? What direction is it headed? What needs to be done to fix it? The calendar certainly needs to be fixed. No more transfer portal, no more early signing period in December. All of that stuff needs to be pushed after the national championship game, because this isn't the first time it's not going to probably be the last time that this happens.
See, there's a reason why the NFL is as dominant in sports as it is. And they dominate the calendar.
Yes.
They have dates that they go by. And college football has, through every fault of their own, done this to themselves.
Right.
It's crazy. Rich Eisen, great sports guy.
Yes.
I love listening to his shows and stuff like that.
Yep.
He tweeted out, the last two LSU football hires make you want to take a college football shower.
Yes.
Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin and all the money that they are paying him, and I believe even Ed Orgeron.
Yes.
Still, right?
Still on the thing.
Is it Ed?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Ed Orgeron still being paid. I thought the interesting thing when I heard his contract yesterday was, depending on how Ole Miss does, LSU is paying him for Ole Miss victories in the postseason.
Yeah.
So if they win a round, he gets like $150,000, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. So here's a different school now paying their incoming coach, depending on how his former team does.
Their former football coaches and their current one are being paid by the state, by the taxpayers, to the tune of about, $168 million a year? And this coming from one of the absolute dirt poorest states in the country.
Yeah, can't educate anybody, but let's pay out a lot of money to coaches.
Yeah, so, that's where their priority is now. And it's just insanity. Somebody needs to take control of that program.
Yeah, and don't let it be the governor.
I mean, a lot of teams in the SEC, they do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just saying it's LSU only them, but, Mesa, it's like you look all over, and colleges are doing that. I saw somebody tweeted out the other day, it says that all this drama plays out, makes you grateful to have people like Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell who are sticking around with no allegations, no scandal, no drama, and no bolting and things like that. They're dedicated to their universities.
Kirk's had
absolutely 100% true, right?
Yeah, Kirk's...
He's had his allegations.
Yeah, he's teetered the line a couple times. But, it's not anything bad. He's not leaving to go somewhere else or anything like that. I feel like...
He's not holding anybody hostage, I'm going to leave if you don't do this.
Well, who knows? We just don't know that one
yet. He held Hawkeye fans hostage for, 8 years with his son as the offensive coordinator?
Just to say, I didn't.
He put a loaded gun to our head for a while there, and that was not fun. But I tell you, I don't think there's anything worse in college football than Brian Ferentz. I don't. I would have rather lost to Nebraska for 8 straight years than have Brian Ferentz as my OC.
I can tell you, no, you wouldn't have.
You would rather have Brian Ferentz?
You don't want to lose as many times as we have.
I'll trade you, Brian.
I can guarantee you that the losses will hurt you more than anybody will understand.
I was just surprised we got our 8 wins again. I mean, we were at the start of the year. I was like, you know, Gronowski's not it, and we're going to lose and have 4 wins. And you know, like you said, stick it out and wait, and you'll get your 8. And we got 8 or 9.
8.
Mm-hmm. 8 wins this year. I mean, Kirk's just kind of rinse and repeat every year. There's not really any expectation past 8 wins. So,
all right, here, you ready for your trivia question? Here, it has to do with college football.
Okay.
So, not only is the mess with Lane Kiffin going on, and there's more college coaching news, and it's just going to be a round robin. The guy from BYU is now the leader, a candidate for Penn State.
For Penn State. And if you're Penn State, how has it taken so long for you to get your head coach, considering you fired a guy, 4 weeks into the season?
Yeah.
And you've got all these other places that have already hired somebody. So
supposedly to get a head start on everybody else. So, you know, maybe the program was just that unlivable at that moment under James Franklin. But he didn't have a problem getting a job at Virginia Tech.
Nope. So, and there's some rumors that James Franklin maybe went to Penn State and said, you know, I'm tired of you guys not appreciating what I've done here. Just buy me out and let me go, because he knew he'd land on his feet somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So your trivia question of the morning. Another thing wrong with college football is the preseason poll.
Yes.
Top 25 came out. How many teams finished unranked that were ranked in the preseason top 25? How many of those 25 finished nowhere near the rankings at the end of the season?
I'm going to say 12.
You got it. 12. Nailed it right there. Almost half finished out of that, including Penn State.
Shouldn't rank anything until about 4 weeks into the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mason.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the rankings have to go off last season and then what you bring in. But sometimes, you know, last season you lose a couple of guys and you bring some other guys in, and sometimes those guys are not as good as what you think. And it's just a struggle to be able to rank teams looking based off of training camp and all of that type of stuff.
It's all based on hype. It's all based on the transfer portal. Now, the college football has banked itself on that while not controlling coaching and coaching movement at all.
Right. Yeah. And it's part of the reason why the players wanted to, you know, get their freedom, because coaches have always been able to just pack up and leave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other school's always willing to buy out those contracts. So that's part of the reason why the players wanted more freedom, because if a coach can pack up and leave, now you got coaches like Lane Kiffin going, you know, why can't I go somewhere? All my players can pack up and leave at the end of the year. So now they're throwing it back out. Coaches have always been able to do that if somebody was willing to hire them and pay the buyout. So
here's the ultimate question. We'll wrap up the whole Lane Kiffin conversation. How do you think he does at LSU?
Oh, he'll do well.
I think the first year will be a little bit of a struggle, but I think it also depends on what he brings over, because if he inherits just kind of LSU as a general,
he won't.
I think it'll be different, but I think if you bring some of the guys that he's brought over from Ole Miss, then they'll be just fine.
He is too good of a talent evaluator. They've got too much money that they're going to throw into the transfer portal and everything else. He will build, and he'll build quickly there, because you can, and he's proven pretty much everywhere he's gone that he's capable of winning. If you can win at Ole Miss, you're going to win at LSU.
Let's put it this way. He got a 7-year, $91 million contract, which everybody goes, oh, that's outrageous. LSU wins one national championship during that time. They make all their money back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Off of that, just off of merchandising, everything else going on.
Yep,
there,
and I wouldn't be surprised to see him get one down there. You know, there are some people out there that, for some reason, believe that LSU is the best job in college football. Now, the interesting story could be
Brian Kelly doesn't think so.
Yeah, not anymore. There are some people that believe that Lane Kiffin, the reason why he waited until Sunday to announce, was depending on if Alabama would have lost to Auburn, that they would have been firing Caleb DeBoer, that he really wants the Alabama job, and being it didn't come open, LSU was the next best job for him. But if Alabama would come open, I think you could see Lane Kiffin jumping ship again.
Is that true? Alabama 1, LSU 2, or is LS 1? Where would you put the college jobs at? Give me the top 5, you guys think.
Well, I think Alabama's number 1, because for the last, 15 to 20 years,
they've
been Nick Saban.
They've just been the king because of Nick Saban, and he's a Saban guy. I mean, he was, the OC under Saban for a little while there, so I think that he wants to go to Alabama if he can get a job there.
I would put Ohio State in that mix because, you know, like Alabama, like, you know, LSU, like Texas, you're you're a recruiting fertile ground. I mean, they can walk out their back door and sign, you know, 10 5-star and 4-star, high 4-star recruits. And Ohio State's got a ton of money and more money coming in now with the Big Ten contract. So I would throw Ohio State into that mix of probably one of the one, two, or three best jobs in the country. As I hate to have to say that for, you know, Max Fishbach and all those Ohio State fans out there, but, you know, I would throw that name into the mix.
Alabama, Ohio State, who else?
Probably LSU over Georgia, just because I think they do have more money. But then you got to probably throw Georgia into that mix.
And then probably Texas, you'd say?
I would say probably Texas. You know, KC might, you know, disagree on where we've got them ranked, but I think just because of the money. And you know, another two teams probably that might sneak into it, and maybe three that we probably wouldn't have thought of even 5 years ago. Texas Tech's got probably more oil money than anybody. Mm-hmm. BYU is just absolutely loaded with money, and they're going to be throwing a ton of money in with NIL and everything else that they're going to be doing there as well. And then SMU, another one. Look at how many players they bought back in the 80s before they got the death penalty. That money hasn't gone anywhere. They still have a boatload of money. So I could see those three programs in the next decade becoming some of the elite programs in all of college football because of the amount of money that they're going to be throwing at players.
I'll throw out two more. Michigan, USC. You guys didn't mention them at all.
Yeah.
Bloods, man.
They are blue bloods. For me,
Oregon's got money too.
Yeah, Oregon's got a ton of money. Yep. For me, the Michigan job, it's not really a fertile recruiting ground. They have to recruit the state of Ohio really well and then recruit outside of their own state. And, you know, that's kind of the problem for an Iowa and even for a Nebraska. Nebraska at one time was a blue blood. I don't know if we are still a blue blood technically or not, because we've kind of struggled for the last 10, 11 years. But you're not loaded with kids in your own state to go out and recruit. Iowa does a great job of what Nebraska used to do. Sign all these kids from your own state that are 2 and 3 starts and make them a 4 or 5 start and develop them by the time they graduate. And you're never young. You know, that's the one thing. Iowa's an old team, and every year Iowa's an old team. And that's the reason why Kirk can go out and win their 8 to 10 games every year, where Nebraska's the youngest team in the Big Ten this year because we can't seem to get kids, you know, in and develop them.
I had to laugh because there's a stat that came across my Instagram feed the other day, and it just made me laugh as an Iowa fan. There's only 4 teams in college football for the last 10 seasons that have won 8-plus games. And I think it's Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, and then Iowa. And I look at it, and 3 of those teams are national championship contenders every year, and then you just got Iowa. And I'm like, we get our 8 wins and go, what, lose to Tennessee in a bowl game?
I mean, honestly, but Georgia, Alabama, and some of those are playing some of the top-tier teams. I'm not knocking Iowa's schedule, but they're going to play Minnesota. They played Nebraska.
That Big Ten West schedule that they had for a long time was terrible. That division was terrible.
Illinois and Indiana before they got good and things like that.
And I can say that because Nebraska's in the same division. We just didn't win.
I'm going to be realistic about it. Yeah. Where does Iowa and Iowa State fall? I mean, as far as coaching jobs, clearly I think Iowa is a bigger job, way bigger job than Iowa State.
I think Iowa State's on the rise. If you get a couple more winning seasons out of Campbell, some really good productive seasons. I know they're building different things over at Ames to make
winning coach away from being a prime job.
Yeah.
They've got to have that under several people to say, okay, their school support is there. It's not just one coach, Matt Campbell.
The thing that scares me is I've got a good friend that played for Iowa State back in the 90s, and he still lives over there and goes to all the games and is very involved with everything. There's not a lot of NIL, so they're going to struggle unless something changes with their NIL. Yeah. They're going to have to continue to be one of those kind of build programs where they get those 2 and 3 star kids and develop them. And Campbell's been able to do that, but they're going to struggle when it comes to the financial things. And I think you're going to see, you know, there's talk within the next 10 years, you're going to see some of those programs across college football really struggling to be able to compete because of the lack of funding.
Helps that they're in the Big 12. They're getting some help from their conference, and nearly as much as the Big 10 or the SEC is. Yep. But where does Iowa rank in the realm of coaching jobs out there? When Kirk Ferentz decides to hang it up, And, you know, that's totally up to him. He could do it in the offseason, and I would go, well, what do we do now?
I think it depends.
It's his job. It's his decision to make.
It is. I for me, and Mason may have a different idea. For me, I look at Iowa and I say, it depends on who their next hire is, because you got to find a culture guy, a development guy. You're not going to probably find somebody like Lane Kiffin that's going to go out and sign a bunch of 4- and 5-star recruits, because that's going to be hard to do in this part of the country. So you got to find the right guy and the right fit. If you do, it's probably a top 25 job. If you don't, it's maybe a top 40 job is what I would guess.
The only part I struggle with here is I know that there's a chance that they try and keep it in-house and you just slide somebody into that job and you say, well, we got an OC or a DC or somebody in there that just take Kirk's job. And I'm like, you know, after 30 years of one guy, do you really want a guy that was under him for that time to be able to slide in there? So I'm like, if you go out and get somebody else, like you said, I think it could be a top 25 job. But if you just slide somebody in, then it's like, well, you maybe might just have Kirk rinse and repeat again.
Yeah.
Well,
the only thing,
and this brings up an interesting thing, that too, is a lot of programs look to somebody who has ties to Iowa. I don't know. I guess I don't follow Iowa sports enough to know that. Is there anybody out there in the coaching realm that has deep, deep ties to the Iowa program?
Who was the guy that was the O-coordinator at Washington or whatever that was from BV or whatever? I can't think of
I can't remember his name either.
But he might
be the closest.
Yeah. And then you got Bielema over at Illinois. I will just say this to Mason, as a guy that went through it, you know, Nebraska, when Osborne retired, hired Frank Solich, and he won 9 games every year, and then he had one
he
off
year
where he won 7 games, and we got a new Ryan Grubb. Thank you, Casey.
he's in the other studio.
Yes, listening. Yes. So I look at it, and Solich had 1-7-7 year. They hire a new AD who wants a different person, and that AD then comes in after Solich wins 9 games and fires him and goes out and tries to hire somebody in Bill Callahan that came in and completely changed what Nebraska does. You're seeing Wisconsin going through the same thing. They went out and got Luke Fickell, who's a good football coach, proved that at Cincinnati, but he came in and tried to completely change the culture and the face of Wisconsin and what has happened to them. So be careful going out and getting somebody that's going to change something that's been effective and work at the university that you root for.
Yeah. I just don't know if there's anyone like Kirk to be able to win 8 games a year if you're not a top 10 program. It's hard to go find somebody like Kirk, but the only way to keep it that way is to keep it in-house. But then it's like, you know, what do you get out of somebody that's been under Kirk if you just keep kind of going through that same cycle?
Is that success going to continue, or is it going to start to taper off a little bit? Who knows? We'll leave the
and
conversation.
Maybe he'll hold on long enough that it'll happen like it did for, who was the guy before him? Hayden Fry, where they start to fall off before he even retires. So
we're going to leave it at that one.
Yes, I do want to say
direct
this,
those comments to Jeff Blankman.
Yeah, that's all right. Believe you me, I had to turn my phone off on Friday because of all of the comments that I was getting. But I do want to give a congratulations and a shout out, as much as it pains me, DJ Vanami and Ty Nissen for their win on Friday. And DJ had a heck of a ball game and it's really come on and played well. But painful to have to say that as a Nebraska fan. But congratulations to those guys.
Also to Lucas Deal, who, by the way, just received an offer from West Virginia. So I'm sure that the Iowa schools are going to follow. But that was, he said, his first D1 offer.
Right.
Greg Kustra had put that out on social media. But I wanted to switch to real quick. We're just going to talk just a couple minutes here on college basketball. The new top 25 poll is out. Purdue number 1, Arizona number 2, Michigan number 3, Duke 4. Iowa State checking in at number 10 this week after that great Las Vegas tournament, that round robin they played. You look at the top 10. There's no SEC teams in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shocked me. There was, what, 3 Big Ten teams, 4 Big 12 teams, a couple of ACC teams, but not one. Top SEC team was number 12, Alabama.
Now, I know Honold, you know, they go over to all the Iowa State games. He really likes this team. They've got a big kid, I think, from Germany or something that he said that's just going to be an absolute star. He's strong kid and everything else. He really likes him. So I haven't had a chance to see Iowa State play this year. Speaking of Iowa State, Audie Crooks and the Iowa State women. There's people talking them as winning the national championship because Audie Crooks is so unstoppable. So.
Yeah, she's setting records all over the place this year for that. Yep. Iowa, by the way, for the men, finally getting they're just outside the top 25 at number 26. That game is a week from this Thursday where it's Iowa State in the men's game. But this Saturday, number 1 Purdue and Iowa State meeting up in West Lafayette.
That should be a heck of a ball game.
Iowa State stand a chance?
Yeah. I think if you're in the top 10, you should probably stand a chance with everyone there. And I think Iowa State's just that talented this year that, you know, they're going to have a chance to go in there and beat them.
I tell you, the team that scares me just off of watching them in one of the tournaments over the weekend, I saw two of their games, Michigan. Oof. Michigan's really, really good right now. That doesn't mean they'll be that good at the end of the year, but right now they may be playing as well as anybody in the country.
And don't sleep on it. I mean, Kansas, obviously, they went out and just, was it Tennessee, I think, that they just absolutely destroyed in Las Vegas. Under that, they had a couple of losses on the year, but Kansas has gone out and played the toughest probably preseason schedule I've ever seen Bill Self play.
And they were missing probably their best player, that freshman that hasn't been able to see the floor for him. So
Watch out for them. So that is, once again, I was about to wrap up the program. All right, we're done. Nope. We still got about 10 more minutes.
Do want to mention, and Nathan Cohn's made sure that we remembered
that's right.
It. Yes, Iowa State Wrestling snapping a 20-year losing streak to the Hawkeyes, beating them 20-14 the other day. So congratulations to the Cyclones wrestling program that's back. You know, after a number of years of really, really struggling, they came in ranked number 4 and knocked off number 3. And, it'll be interesting to see now where they jump. Do they jump to 3 or do they jump over Nebraska to number 2?
And it was nationally televised.
Yes.
On ESPN, not like the Big Ten Network or something like that. Yeah. And that went nationwide. So that's a huge boon. And by the way, Nathan Cohn's mentioned.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got everybody involved here. Casey Miners, Nathan Cohn's, everybody.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, having the Cyclones beat the Hawkeyes on national television, I can't think of many things better.
Yeah. You know, the only thing we're missing is a Nick Brinks mention.
Oh, yeah.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
So where's Nick going to be this week? You got him
He'll be in
basketball.
Rockwell City tonight for South Central Calhoun basketball, and then I'd have to peek. Oh, he's over in Arweva over in Westside coming up on Friday. So for a guy that lives in Ames, that's going to be on the road again.
Wave at him as he drives by for people.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It is KCIM Sports Rewind with Sports Director Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon, Assistant Sports Director, and me. I'm just kind of here for
is
now.
Next week your last?
Yeah.
Wow.
Last
what
show.
Are we going to do? What do you want to do for the show?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to do for lunch today. Are you kidding me? I don't plan. I'm a dude. I don't plan.
Yeah, I know. Mason asked me the other day, are we doing anything special for John's last show? And I'm like,
nope.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it
yet. Standard operating procedure, man. We're going to talk sports and life will go on.
Yes.
So let's talk a little fall sport, or winter sports, excuse me, because they all blend into each other anymore anyway.
Yep.
So early season highlights. Let's start with basketball.
Well, last night I called a fantastic game. First off, shout out to the JV for Coon Rapids Bear. And I'm sitting there setting up and getting ready, doing some technical difficulties, and I look up and Mason Culbertson hits a game winner in JV. And so I'm like, you know, that's a fun way to go into varsity. And then we go in there and Audubon starts holding Coon a little bit, and I'm like, this is going to be a fun one. I start calling, going through, and it's the fourth quarter, and it's 40-40 and 42-42, and then from then on out, I think that Coon just, you know, out-rebounded Audubon, and Cal Hayden ended up putting up 34, I think, for him. But Audubon's going to look good this season, I think.
34 of their 54. I had to laugh because I was coming back from the Exire Okern Kimbleton Riverside girls basketball game last night down at Elkhorn and listening to Mason on the broadcast. And I get back, and there's about 4 minutes left in the game, and it's fairly tight. And I'm in here in KCIM doing some work, and all of a sudden I get a text from Mason. It's like, this is amazing, whatever, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not listening right now. What's going on? It was a 2-point game with a minute to go. I need to turn the radio back on and or the stream on and finish listening to that.
Or go back to the YouTube channel, right?
We did have it on video last night as well. So you people can go back and watch last night's last night's game. So, yeah, what a heck of a ball game.
Was that the first night for the boys, honestly?
First
night,
yeah. Actually, technically, could have been the second night. They could have opened Monday, but we didn't have any teams play on Monday night. But, yeah, so it was a fun night.
Well, last night was Monday night.
That wasn't Monday. Today is Tuesday. Yeah, I'm already off. So, yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute. Are we doing rewind on a weird day?
Yeah, well, we must be. We're doing it on a Wednesday or something. Right. Yeah, no, but... Glidden ends up falling last night to Newell Fondar. We've lost in a tight one as well to West Monona and the only other boys games. And then all three of our girls teams fall last night as well. Exira in a matchup of ranked teams. The Spartans lost to Riverside by 5, played pretty well, had some opportunities. Taryn Peterson went over 1,000 points in her career and just a junior, first game of her junior season. So she'll have a chance to get to 2,000 before her career is probably over. But Glidden-Ralston really challenged themselves. You open up over at Newell Fonda on the road, and that's never an easy one. And West Monona has been really good, too, and they ended up taking care of Arweva last night. And the Rockets struggling a little bit offensively to start the season. So, yeah, kind of the first – tonight will be the first really big night of high school basketball with boy and girl doubleheaders. So.
Yeah, we're going to have one for you tonight, Kemper at Carroll. Jeff, you've got the call on that one. Give us a little preview of what to expect tonight. You've got it on YouTube, by the way, too.
Yes, we'll have that on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel, and then also on, I think, KKRL, if I remember correctly. I think it should be a good game. I thought Kemper was really impressive in their win over Coon Rapids Baird last week. I think their defense inside with Olivia Schinkelberg and Addie Antover, they will be tested tonight with Chloe and Allie Cook. The question is going to be is, you know, the Carroll guards, I think, played pretty well in their win over Webster City. They're young. How do they handle, you know, Elsa Tiefenthaler and Kaylee Simons on the outside for Kemper, because them two can score and they're fast, and Elsa's can be physical. For Carroll or for Kemper, can you contain the two Cook girls and then not let anybody else hurt you? I know you got a chance to see Carroll against Webster City the other night.
Yeah, I think, the offense wasn't there right away. They had found kind of their stride in that second quarter, but for their defensive end of the ball, I think they were very impressive. I know down low they faced a girl who was 6'1 from Webster City, and Chloe Cook kind of matched up with her right away. So I think that's the girl they're going to call on to guard either Antover or Schinkelberg. And then I think, outside it's just going to be a question of who you're going to put on who, because you could put Sadie Kelly on either one of Tiefenthaler or Simons. You could put Allie Cook on Elsa Tiefenthaler. You could put Jersey Sporer out there. But I think that, Coach Katie Cook's going to find a way to put somebody somewhere and figure it out sometime during the game. But I think this one should be a very competitive.
Yeah, and if you're talking defense, Katie Cook's a really good coach defensively and stuff, so she'll figure something out to give them an opportunity to be able to win what should be a really good game tonight. So
yeah, a lot of our regional teams going to be in action. Boys-girls doubleheaders for the first time this year.
Yes. Do you have the schedule in front of you, or do I need to pull it up?
I do have it. We've got Arweva at Exira, Elkhorn, Kimbleton. ESAC is going to travel to Woodbury Central. Woodbine is at Glidden-Ralston. Tri-Center at IKM Manning, Booyer Valleys at Peyton Chardin. Broadcast game here, once again, Nick Brinks, as you mentioned, South Hamilton at South Central Calhoun, and the Audubon boys playing back-to-back nights, going to be hosting Underwood tonight.
Yep, so that should be a pretty good matchup. I like this Audubon ball club, so hopefully they can go out and play well again tonight. But, I think that South Hamilton, South Central Calhoun doubleheader should be pretty good, too. And we'll see what the ESAC boys can do opening up at Woodbury Central. That should be an interesting matchup. And then boys wrestling getting underway tonight as well.
I was saying, today is like the day that we got all the sports going.
Yes. Coon Rapids Baird boys go to a triangular at Panorama, and the South Central Calhoun boys go to a quad up at MOC Floyd Valley. Carroll boys swim team, they're starting their season tonight at home. They host Bishop Garrigan, Fort Dodge, and Spencer. And then the Kemper girls and boys bowling team will be entertaining Gilbert tonight as well. So.
All right, so you guys did the wrestling preview shows. Those are all available online. Yes. Give us a little preview of what you expect throughout the wrestling season.
Girls-wise, I think South Central Calhoun, Audubon are going to be really, really good. I think Carroll's got a chance to be strong. Kemper's numbers-wise are not great, but they've got some really good wrestlers in there on the girls' side of things.
And I got to say, last night, Carroll and Audubon faced off. I know Carroll had knocked him off, but I think Audubon really gave him a run for their money there. So you look at it, you got a lot of good contenders out there. I know Macy Rasmussen down at Audubon, one of those contenders. Jeff, you can probably, after last season, tell me a little more about some of the contenders you'll have.
Yeah, Elena Harbor is wrestling really well down at Audubon. You've got Emery Kramer and Mia Heffley up at South Central California. Calhoun wrestling well. You know, Bree Kiger, Emma Daniels. Emma Daniels going to have an outstanding year. Watch out maybe for Emma Grossman as well up at Carroll High. So, yeah, we're pretty lucky in that Sophia Villegas wrestling well at ESAC County. And then on the boys' side of things, things are just getting started. I think Carroll's got some really top high, you know, top end guys that are going to do really, really well this year. Audubon's got better numbers than probably what they've had in a few years. I know Tyler Christensen told me that it's popular and cool to be a wrestler again now, so their numbers have shot up. I think Coon Rapids Baird's going to be really good. They were young a year ago and had a strong team, and I think they're going to be really, really good under Tim Patrick. ESAC County's got a few strong wrestlers as well, so Noel Bachman in year number one as the official head coach up there at ESAC County's, I think, going to do some nice things with that program. And then, of course, you always got Lance Schultzen and Colin Corey coaching South Central Calhoun, and you can't mention boys wrestling without mentioning Carson Webker. He's ranked number one to start the season. So you got a chance to have a state champion right there in that young man. So
yeah, it's that time of year where Jeff's going to break up his sports in the morning. He's like, I'll do girls basketball here, I'll do boys basketball, and then we do the wrestling on this one. Yeah. And then, so it's going to be 7-minute long sports reports.
Yes.
Coming out. Because Thursday, how many almost all the wrestling teams around the area are in action.
Yeah.
Plus the basketball that's going to be going on. And Friday night's full of basketball as well.
Yep. So. Yeah. And I will tell you that there's a new company that bought Track Wrestling, and I am not right now a fan. It's going to increase the work for Mason and I about tenfold on getting wrestling results out, because they don't do a very good job of posting things for us to be able to get the results. So might have to have a conversation with state and say, hey, what's going on here? Because, struggling to be able to get things with wrestling. Well, we'll get them out. Just we may still be working the next morning trying to get them out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Getting you to as fast as we possibly can. That's, that's once again, all you guys do. You sit around overnight and just typing up results all night long. So that is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week. We'll be back again 9:30 a.m. next Saturday, or next Saturday morning. I think this is the coach's show. Next Tuesday morning right here on KCIM.